Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to AGS Transact Technologies Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Ravi Goyal, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Saurabh Lal, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Goyal, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Goyal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to thank each one of you for joining our Q4 and FY24 earnings call on behalf of AGS Transact Technologies Limited. Joining me on this call are Mr. Saurabh Lal, our CFO, Mr. Stanley Johnson, and Mr. Vinayak Goyal, our Executive Directors, and Mr. Shailesh Shetty, the Managing Director of our wholly-owned subsidiary, Secure Value India Limited. For your reference, we have uploaded the investor presentation and financial results on the corporate website and stock exchanges. FY24 was a year of resilience for the company. We successfully navigated a challenging macro environment and made significant strides in enhancing our business operations. As we look ahead, we are very optimistic about our business model and are committed to building on this momentum to drive sustained growth and value for our shareholders. As one of the leaders in our segment, we have secured significant large contracts from leading public and private sector banks in India through various RFPs. We are on track to complete the execution of the SBI order for 1,350 ATMs under banking automation and 2,500 ATMs under the outsourcing model, which is worth 1,100 crore rupees over 7 years, and we will be completing it by H1 of FY25 and Q3 of FY25, respectively. Key driver for our growth outlook is the digital payments business. We anticipate a promising FY25 with several exciting new launches in the pipeline now. Before I continue, let me take a minute to explain our digital payments business. The company offers a unique digital payments ecosystem, Ongo, designed to shift payments from a service to a convenience for corporates, merchants, and consumers. Built over a period of 7 years by leveraging AGS world-class payments tech infrastructure, Ongo comprises of a secure, agile, and scalable digital platform providing merchant acquiring and issuance services. Sorry. As a non-bank prepaid payment instrument, Ongo also offers dedicated open-loop prepaid solution for consumers. Currently, AGS digital payment business contributes about 20% of the revenue of payment solution business segment. It is focused on three key growth areas. First, the National Common Mobility Card, or NCMCs, launched by the Government of India under the vision of One Nation, One Card. These are open-loop prepaid cards backed by the RuPay platform, which can be used to make online and offline payments, including multi-purposes such as bus, retail, fuel, toll, and parking. As of today, more than 47,500 NCMC cards have been issued for Bangalore Metro Rail Corporation. We are in the process of exploring similar opportunities with other metro railways in the country. Second, the open-loop co-branded prepaid cards in collaboration with leading brands. These prepaid cards are compatible with all RuPay acceptance points across India, and a convenient solution for mitigating growing online frauds. We are working towards integrating more features on the OnGo PPI platform to provide added convenience to the users. Further, we believe the solution has the potential to transform expense management for corporates. Third is the first of its kind, the open-loop contactless fueling solution for our OnGo platform, pilot tested at select fuel outlets of a leading OMCs. This solution has onboarded over 1,000 fleet vehicles with plans for a nationwide rollout. The potential market for fleet fueling alone is estimated at over rupees 1.6 lakh crore annually. Overall, we are developing an asset-light digital business model focused on expanding our PPI infrastructure and leveraging our digital payment ecosystem. OnGo, through strategic collaborations across the FMCG, mobility and fueling sectors, among others, to drive innovation and growth. This segment will contribute substantially to our profits in next 3 years. The sustained growth in cash in circulation is reaching approximately rupees 35.15 lakh crore alongside the exponential rise in digital payments across channels underscores the increasing importance of an omni-channel payment systems in India. The recent initiatives by the RBI, such as enabling third-party apps for UPI payments via PPI wallets and rolling out CBDC interoperability with UPI, reaffirms this trend. Furthermore, the rapid expansion of the bank branch network and the widespread adoption of cash recycler machines are expected to further drive growth of in AGSTTL's core cash payments business. We are also actively working to further strengthen this segment through multiple contract renegotiation and improved rates currently in pipeline. Now I will take you through updates on our key business segments. For our cash management services offered through our wholly owned subsidiary, Secure Value India, we will continue to focus on improving our overall efficiencies and revenue margins through route optimization and cost reduction. During FY24, we started scaling down various low margin and capital intensive businesses with a focus on maximizing revenue and cost reduction. This process has come to completion, having an overall revenue impact of approximately rupees 200 crore to date. Further, the share of revenue from service to overall revenue has increased to more than 90%. Over the past few years, India's payment ecosystem has witnessed a unique synergy. The growth of digital ecosystem in India has been driven by a number of factors, including the government's push towards digitalization. The government, in collaboration with RBI, has proposed initiatives such as enabling UPI for cash deposit facility, UPI access for prepaid instruments through third-party apps, offline payments in UPI to increase the speed of small value transactions on UPI, expanding the scope and reach of e-rupee vouchers, linking rupee credit cards to UPI, interoperable cardless withdrawal, popularly called as ICCW, at ATM to boost the digital payments industry in India. In line with the key initiatives undertaken and the growth landscape in the industry, the company is strategically focusing on increasing the revenue contribution from the digital payment solution segment by utilizing its code expertise, leveraging its PPI license, and strengthening our foothold by leveraging the large customer base created over the years. The ATM outsourcing and cash management business, which is our core business, works on a fixed or transaction fee basis and contributes to nearly 67% of our consolidated business. The tenure of the contracts in this segment is between 5 to 8 years, which helps us in generating recurring revenues on a year-to-year basis. We are in the process of renegotiating contracts and service agreements with the clients, shifting our focus from a pure transaction fee-based business model to a mixed model of fixed fee and transaction fee, in addition to revisions in the contract prices. The ATM's outsourcing business complements our cash management business managed under our wholly owned subsidiary Secure Value India. The revenue contribution in this segment is approximately 14%. Secure Value services to more than 38,400 ATMs and CRMs and accounts for 47 vaults and 400 plus spoke locations. We have about 940 pickup and doorstep banking points and a network of 2,300 plus secure cash vans across 1,800 cities and towns. During the year, we completed the deployment of 270 dedicated cash vans of order value ₹250 crore. We are also focusing on doorstep banking business, which is a retail cash pickup and cash deployment. Now I would request Saurabh, the CFO of AGS Transact Technologies, to share the financial highlights of Q4 and FY24. Saurabh, over to you.
Thank you, Ravi. Good afternoon, everyone. Now allow me to take you through the financial performance of the company for Q4 and FY24. In Q4 of FY24, the total income of the group stood at 3,568 million versus 4,349 million in Q4 of FY23. Talking about the EBITDA number, in Q4 of FY24, the adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 26% versus 24% in the Q3 of FY24. Our adjusted EBITDA stood at 934 million in Q4 of FY24 and INR 913 million in Q3 of FY24 and INR 1,231 million in Q4 of FY23. The adjusted EBITDA margin for Q4 of FY23 stood at 28.3%. From the profit after tax perspective, we recorded a loss of INR 44 million as against the loss of 154 million in Q4 of FY23. Coming to the full year number of the group, the total income in FY24 stood at 15,088 million versus 17,075 million in FY23. The profit after tax stood at loss of 800 million in FY24 as compared to profit of 317 million in FY23. There has been a decline in revenue during the period as we have scaled down other automation and other businesses and product businesses as we have told earlier also. Going forward, we anticipate an increase in revenue both from the existing and new customers with the new contracts in hand and certain contracts in the pipeline. As Ravi mentioned, we are also in process of renegotiating some of our key contracts with the customers as well. We have provided approximately INR 100 crore in FY24 on account of certain delays in payments by various customers due to pending reconciliations and other deductions. We as a company along with the team, business team and everyone are working with the customers to reconcile and recover the same as well. During the year, our operating cash flow generation remained healthy. We recorded an increase in net cash flow generation from operating activities to INR 3,492 million versus 2,493 million in FY23. We have also reduced our debt and the total net debt has come down from 6,769 million in FY23 to 5,707 million in FY24. Just to give you a quick update on our subsidiaries' full year performance, Secure Value India Limited, which is into cash business, reported a top line of INR 4,456 million, including AGS on a gross level, with a EBITDA margin of 16.5%. Its non-AGS business, which is a business coming from the customer outside the AGS network, is close to 48%. ITSL, our digital payment subsidiary, recorded a top line of 1,763 million, with a EBITDA margin of 5.6%. GTSL, our foreign subsidiaries, generated a revenue of INR 754 million in INR terms with a EBITDA margin of 25.3%. With this, we conclude our presentation and open the floor for further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, You may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar team, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, if you could explain the our business model wherein we have to book loss on loss allowances on trade receivables to the tune of 116 crore for the current fiscal. So if you could just explain the nature and what are the due diligences that needs to be followed in order to revert the same.
Sure, Sanket, this all of this side. Sir, with this respect to loss allowances, this is a total allowance of around 116 crore which we have taken into the financial year FY24 over a period of various quarters, sir. So we have taken certain provision in quarter 2, then we have got certain recovery and then do net provision in quarter 3, and similarly we have done certain provision in quarter 4 also, sir. So these provisions are basically for certain receivables which are as per the normal accounting parlance and as per the implementation of ECL guidelines by the India's accounting standards are delayed and beyond the normal cycle of the collection, sir. So since these payments are getting delayed, though there are communications and conversations are happening between business and the banks and the customers on a regular basis for recovery of those amounts, but as these amounts are getting delayed beyond the normal timeline, we have started providing the provisioning and the allowance and return-offs of these amounts in the balance sheet. So since these are items which are what we feel that they are exceptional in nature, because these collections, these amounts are expected to be recovered over a period of time, we have shown it as a separate line items for a proper interpretation that on a sustainable basis, the company beta margins are much higher as compared to what has been recorded in the financials after taking into that adjustment.
Sir, my question is more towards the nature. We are into the digital part of the payment system, and also we are dealing with B2B also and B2C also as a percentage of our total revenue profile. So what can lead to these delinquencies firstly, wherein we are left with the receivables, or just if you could explain the nature of our business wherein we are left with these amounts being receivable, if you could explain what leads firstly to these, and again I'm repeating, we are into the B2B business, on a higher side. So if you could just explain kindly more in detail.
Sure, sir. So sir, as you said, we're into more into B2B business. We deal with various customers from the banks and everyone, and those customers are give payments to us. There are certain disputes that arises on those payments, and when these disputes get arises, sir, there are payments which get on hold. Now there is a process of detailed reconciliations that happens between us and the banks for those amounts to be recovery, and that reconciliation takes some time from a business perspective, sir. Other than that, sir, we have a business which is basically non-digital business, and this is not B2C business, and we are purely into B2B business with the banks and other customers. For B2C business, sir, as Ravi also mentioned, that we are getting into various forms of issuance business like prepaid card and everything, there will definitely have a B2C customer for a period of time, sir. But as I said, sir, just coming back to your point of these kind of deductions, these are basically reconciliations, sir. In case you requesting for more detailed information, we can ask our agencies to definitely reach out to you, and we can give you more details that what are the natures and what are the details of these deductions, sir.
Okay, and next point is on the depreciation and the amortization expenses.
Okay, sir.
Then if when we look at our net assets, current asset of property plant is around 310 crore.
Okay.
On a standalone basis, wherein we are booking depreciation and amortization to the tune of 158 crore. So if you could just explain the nature and the rate at which the same are being depreciated, just to understand what goes into this.
Sir, as you referred to this as a standalone financial, sir, if you see, there are two types of assets in our books. One is this property plant equipment, which is around, as you said, 310 crore. Then there are another form of assets in our balance sheet, which is called ROU assets, sir. So there is a ROU assets also sitting in our financials, which is another 200 crore rupees approximately, sir. So total FA book of the company, including ROU and PP, is around 500 crore rupees, sir. And the depreciation that you see in the P&L is a mix of both the, one is the depreciation on the tangible assets, which is in PPE, and the other depreciation is being charged on the ROU assets also, which is again sitting in part of the PPE book, sir.
Do you have any follow-up question?
Sorry.
I joined the queue. No issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ravi and team. So I heard your comments on renegotiating these agreements, where you're saying that, you know, you would want to move from a 100% transaction link to a more fixed transaction model. So first of all, I just want to get your sense, you know, from a thought process, how are you looking at these renegotiations? Does the fixed fee ideally cover the entire OPEX at least, or maybe the fixed fee covers more than the OPEX, or you do have some positive ROC per ATM, and then the variable bit pulls up ROC higher to say, you know, 15-20%, or whatever ROC you target for ATM?
So, as you rightly said, definitely, but we always thought that the large banks which is, we have in our portfolio, we always used to have a normal contract, which are transaction fee-based contract or fully transaction fee-based contract. But we have seen over a period of time is that definitely there are certain fixed costs which are definitely required to be covered in the contract, so that we should take care of either the inflation that is going to hit us over a period of time, or there is a possibility that over a period of time the asset is not generating the expected number of transactions when we have bidded the contract for a period of time. So now, as we said, and as Ravi also mentioned, we are trying to get into hybrid-based contract with them, which covers the mix of both the sides. Like, just to give you background, that like we have various types of ATMs in our portfolio. One is called on-site ATMs, certain ATMs are off-site ATMs, certain ATMs are additional ATMs, then we have honest, and then, so we are trying to mix it in such a way that we should able to cover up maximum cost wherever we have an ATM, like ATM installed at the branch level, where most of the customers of the branch comes and not other customer comes. So we wanted certain banks that, okay, if you can do it a fixed fee pricing, then it will help for us, and then we take some upside from them. So definitely, since we are saying it's not purely fixed, it's a hybrid, there is always a component of transactions benefit that will accrue to us. So automatically, as a transaction goes up, we will definitely keep on seeing higher proceeds coming on that amount. But yes, on the other bottom side, that it helps us to protect our certain costs and certain losses. All costs are definitely not covered, but I think substantial portion of costs are getting covered on a portfolio basis. But on certain ATMs, we are ensuring that each and every cost get covered, and we should get additional revenue in the form of fixed fee revenue.
So hypothetically, assuming there are no transactions at all, the fixed fee will not cover the entire OPEX, but it will reduce losses that may come from an ATM. That's the broad takeaway, right? It's not that the fixed fee will cover for the OPEX, so you may have 0% ROC. That's not the case.
Yeah, this can be your answer this across. So yes, what you rightly said, that if it is a zero transaction ATM across, it will not cover the whole amount as a fixed fee, but a majority of them would get covered across. That's how we have remodeled that.
Got it, got it. Just a follow-up, of your current brown label estate, are all the ATMs on this variable transaction model right now?
So I think there are few contracts, few large banks that we have in our portfolio, which are on a transaction fee-based model, and other banks are on fixed fee-based model.
But are the fixed fee-based model at least some say 20-30% of ATM base right now, or is it a smaller number?
No, it's. I would say approximately it is around 35% of the revenue comes from a fixed fee contract.
Okay, got it. Second, not pertaining just to you, but basically just I want to get your thoughts on, you know, is the transaction link model flawed in the current environment, you know, where ATM deployments would perhaps be increasingly in suburban or smaller markets where footfalls may generally be lower? Hence, even your plan to, you know, like reprice contracts with a hybrid model per se?
So, what we are seeing across is except metros, your semi-rural and rural, where deployments are happening, the transactions level are pretty good enough across, except in the metros where you have an impact of some of digital on it. But overall, across on the semi-urban and rural, it has a good set of transactions. So especially, so when you get into a hybrid model, it balances off across the metros and the semi-urban part of it.
Okay, okay. And just, I mean, would a hike in interchange fee make this business more viable whenever it comes? And if you heard anything on that interchange fee hike?
So there are talks going on across in various forums on the hike of the interchange. Definitely when the interchange increase, the deployment pace and the deployment across by banks would always increase. So we had seen that when it increased 3-4 years back, deployment rose across. Same way we would see it once it goes up again.
Just one last question I forgot to ask you. When you are repricing your contracts with your existing clients who were on the variable model, I mean, just want to understand, are the banks pushing back like they would not prefer the fixed fee model per se, or is it that they're too, I mean, the number of players in this space is getting less, so banks don't have a choice, so they are agreeing to the hybrid model? Just want to get a sense on that.
So the answer is both you have answered that across correctly. The players getting reduced across, and they are seeing that increasingly where they are, metros are losing transaction, it becomes very difficult to manage the cost across. So banks are also aligned and tuned to it for this hybrid model.
Okay. Thank you very much. Wish you guys all the best.
Thank you. Requesting all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Ravi Shah from Opal Securities Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, Ravi, you are audible.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, slide 5, you have mentioned about strategic initiatives undertaken by the company. So when will the implementation begin and how will this drive the future growth of our business?
So Ravi, with respect to the various initiatives, so there are various initiatives which is already has been made live. Like as we said, we have already initiated the Bangalore Metro card where almost 47,500 plus NCMC card has been issued. So that project is already live. Now with the new regulatory guidelines which has come from the regulator where the zero KYC NCMC based card can be issued. So we and metros people are working together to ensure that immediate rollout of those cards, and we're targeting to issue more than 2 million cards approximately in the next 2 years timeline. The other one is OnGo Fuel, which is again, we are running a pilot right now. Right now the pilot is at the Mumbai level and everything, and I'm sure as we move forward, this pilot will go out on all India basis and then it will become a full-fledged rollout. The other one is the issuance of prepaid card with one of the FMCG group. Again, that is alignment. I think as Ravi also mentioned on the call, I think this year, I think all these 3 projects will be go live on the full scale basis. Like NCMC is already go live, but they definitely maybe Q2 and Q3 will be able to share with you the more substantial growth in the number perspective and similarly growth in the revenues and the bottom line. And other 2 projects, specifically FMCG and the OnGo Fuel, and there are other things which are in pipeline which we may have not been able to disclose today. Those things will also get activated and will go live as we move forward.
Understood, sir. Thank you for the detailed answer. So my second question would be about the demerger. So what is the strategy behind this and how is this going to help our company overall going forward?
Yeah, sure, Ravi. So Ravi, with respect to this demerger, Ravi, just a second. With respect to the demerger that we have done with the ITSL as a company, which is basically our wholly owned subsidiary. So what has happened is that as Ravi also mentioned, strategically we are focusing more on the issuance of the card businesses, which is primarily linked to the issuance of card through NCMC, issuance of card through OnGo Fuel, issuance of card through various retail tie-ups that we're doing with FMCG groups and everything. So and this all the issuance is happening through the subsidiary ITSL, which has been given a PPI license by the RBI. So that license helped us to grow that business. Other businesses which ITSL is doing mostly on the acquiring side, which is a POS acquiring business where we're deploying this merchant POS and everything, which is very well linked with various common customer which AGS also has, whether it's like OMC marketplace, whether you talk about the various other corporates, whether you talk about the bank. So we thought that it will be very synergic for us that though we wanted to create an independent entity, but now we realize that there is a possibility that when we do these businesses together, like when we get a contract from oil marketing company, we get a complete automation solution contract, which is a payment, including payments also. So we were getting the contract in AGS and doing a subcontracting in ITSL. So with this, I think we're now targeting that let's merge all these businesses in AGS. Let's try to avoid the overlapping roles happening on the both the sides, both on the sales and operations and other fronts, and put more immediate attention, or I would say detailed focus, only on the ITSL, on the issuance side and everything. And over a period of time, definitely it will bring synergies in the form of, as I said, overlapping functions, common functions, support functions, and other execution strategies and faster executions of the rollout of both the AGS and ITSL business, which is happening independent today. But once we have a merger together, they will do proper rollouts and allocation and deliveries together.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking question. I would like to assist management's view for recovery of this 116 crore in the time frame within which you expect this to be done. And going forward, what kind of expectations are built for FY25-26? Are they still pending, which it's been provided for? If they are, what would be to the tune of? Thank you.
So, Nitin, from the recovery perspective, as we said, these are long pending reconciliations, and these are continuous process happening with happening in the discussion with the banks. We and business and operations teams are continuously engaging with the banks and other partners and other people in the system. These discussions happen at various level, HO level, LHO levels, branch level, regional levels. So we are confident that there will definitely be a recovery. Time frame definitely is a very, very difficult number to put it on exactly, but I'm sure we will see a good recovery happening in the near future, which is maybe in quarter 2, 3 and 4, definitely we'll see some recovery. From a going forward basis, I think this reconciliation got created over a period of time because of certain processes followed by both the sides, the us or the customers also. Now those processes have been automated to the great extent, and we believe that with the current processes and current reconciliation processes, the delay will not be as such, or the numbers may not be as big as we have provided in the last financial year.
Was there any incident in Q4 which needed the provision?
Sorry?
Was there any incident or reconciliation issue which resulted in provision for in current quarter?
Because as I said, this is a continuous process of reconciliations. The total number of ATMs that we are in managing with the banks, the reconciliation happens on a daily basis, and it's a continuous operational job. That major reconciliation generally happens automated systems and software now, so we don't see a major difference coming in the future for this quarter or last quarter and everything. But yes, there are certain overhangs or old amounts which were pending over reconciliations with various customers which got delayed, or I would say got delayed beyond the normal timeline. Still, as we said, we are very much confident of recovering certain amounts from this amount that we have written off. But as we move forward, I think the process is quite automated. It's very difficult to say about whether it's zero and everything, but I think most important is that we have a clear visibility and clear roadmap with us that we see that these reconciliations should not pile up over a period of time, and we have a right mechanism, systems in place so that we can kill it before it becomes too big for us.
Are there any insurances available in such kind of practices worldwide, or how does it work overseas?
So from an insurance perspective, Nitin, we have insured ourselves from all four types of frauds, whether it's the frauds of cash theft or everything, or cash in ATMs or cash in transit, and including the cyber frauds also. So if it's come out to be that the kind of fraud which has been debited to us falls under any of this category, whether it's a hack-based fraud like a cyber fraud, or it's a cash in ATM which got stolen, or the cash in transit, those types of losses are covered. But specifically reconciliations with the customers and everything, which is probably the major reason of this talk, are not covered.
Okay, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishi Shah from RH Invest. Please go ahead. Nishi, may I request to unmute and go ahead with your question, please? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next follow-up question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, when we look at your other expenses line item for the quarter and for the year as a whole, I'm now referring to the console part, that constitute large sum of rupees 717 crore on your revenue profile of 1470 crore. So if you could just explain to us what are the key components, and that would suffice.
Sure, sir. So if you see, sir, the presentation of the financial statement has 2-3 heads under which we can put all the expenses. One is the cost with respect to the inventory. Second is the employee benefit expenses, and then there is a cost which is basically covered the expenses which are more than 10% or other expenses. So, sir, as we said, sir, our largest business, as Ravi also mentioned, is the ATM outsourcing business. So all the costs related to ATM outsourcing business, which is related to various cash management costs, various consumables cost, various payroll cost, various connectivity cost, AMC cost, maintenance cost, electricity we have covered, consumers, insurance, and any other cost related to other companies, maybe transportation, maybe travel cost, maybe not travel, transportation, logistics cost, connectivity cost. So all these costs which are related to that business directly is part of the major head of the other expenses. Plus, all the other SG&A of the companies, selling general administration expense, are also part of this head other expenses.
But sir, in percentage terms, that's a very sizable amount. I mean, 717 on a top line of 1470 means 48% of your total cost or your revenues are in the form of only expenses. I mean, just as an investor or a shareholder point of view, just to understand what is left for us as investors to understand and participate in the model wherein 48% of your revenue generation is spent on other expenses. A good part goes into your employee expenses. Then there are issues with receivables. So, and then you in your presentation did alluded to the fact that in 5 years you will be repaying back your debt. But when we look at your previous 5 years, you have been maintaining the same debt level over the same period, going up by 100 crore and getting reduced by 100 crore. It has remained in that band. So for me as an investor, I'm unable to make a point of case of investment looking at the profile of your revenue and the expenses and what is left for investors to take home post the numbers. You are doing a good job in terms of digitalization and participating in the economy in whatever possible way. But for investing communities, the story remains unexplained, sir, at least on my point of view.
Sure, sir. Sir, just to allow me to explain more in detail, sir, now, since this is a presentation of expenses as per the Schedule 2 and Schedule 3 of the companies, like this is how we do. But sir, when we share the detailed financial statement with the shareholders, with other investors and the outside community, you will get the complete schedule of all the other expenses which are part of this expense. There is a detailed note that covers every head of the expense. But as I said, sir, just to give you background, sir, as we said, our is a service company. We don't have a product business and everything. So if you see all of the product side, the costs are very limited. So most of the costs that we incurred in this is related to the service of the business. So for example, when I start a new site or put a new ATM, there is a cost of rent that goes inside. I have to pay electricity bill for that site. I have to pay a consumer for that site. I have to take insurance of that site. I have to take a connectivity of that site. I have to take other housekeeping maintenance of those sites. And that all these costs are part of that segment. And that is why this is going under the head other expenses. And there is a detailed note that will be shared as soon as we release the final financial statement with covering all the notes and schedule for this purpose. So even if we're taking into account all these expenses and everything, that is how we have represented that our EBITDA margin or adjusted EBITDA margin generated on the business is the way the, we request you to look at our numbers, sir. Because since, as you said, we are a service company, most of our expenses will always come under the head other expenses only, except for these three heads, which is employee benefit expense, and other is a change in inventories and change in purchase and other raw materials, sir.
Right. And last point on the borrowing aspect. When
yeah.
we look at you as a service company, as articulated by you, our long-term borrowing are to the tune of 423 crore. So if you could just explain that the nature of the same that leads us for long-term borrowing, and that too also to the tune of 400 crore on top line of only 1,500 crore. So what are we building in terms of these large amounts of borrowing into the revenue profile?
Yes, sir. So, sir, borrowings, as you said, sir, we have a large asset that would deploy on the balance sheet, sir, the ATMs that would deploy. So most of the loans that we have taken is in the form of securitizations of those receivables or basically given a charge for those assets that we have created over a period of time, sir. So all these assets which we deploy on the site, like we put an ATM, we put a UPS, we put a VSET and everything. So all these assets ask for certain capital expenditure that we do. So most of those capital expenditures have been funded through these borrowings only, sir, which is in the form of long-term borrowing, and that will get repaid over a period of time as per the defined schedule that we have agreed with the financial institutions, sir.
Sir, then Mr. Ravi alluded to the fact that you will be debt-free in 4 to 5 years. Can you explain us the roadmap, if taking into account the current business profile, what are the changes that will happen in the cash generation cycle that will lead us to repay all our debt going ahead? And if you could give us the maturity schedule also when you are penciling in 5-year story of net debt to go to zero.
So, sir, if you see from a debt perspective, I think Ravi also mentioned, sir, now our core business, which is ATM outsourcing, will continue to grow like this. We have a plan to increase our other revenue streams and profitability from a asset-light model of digital payments, sir. Where Ravi also mentioned that we will install all this issuance business and everything, which will be a debt asset-light business where we don't foresee any big debt that has to come to our balance sheet size and balance sheet business, sir. Other than that, sir, the debt schedule, as we said, mentioned, is approximately we have a balance maturity of around 3.5 to 4 years approximately pending with us, which will allow us to repay this debt and everything. And as we grow and move forward, as our business revenue get transferred from normal ATM outsourcing business to more digital business, which is an asset-light business, so automatically that is what Ravi wanted to cover, that we have a roadmap that we should become debt-free in the next 4 to 5 years time horizon. And the ATM business will continue to generate this cash, and that cash will help us to repay this debt. And as I said again, the future business that will continue in the form of non-asset-heavy business will definitely support us to not leverage the balance sheet again.
Then
automatically, sir, as we said, we will grow more of the non-asset-heavy business automatically, and the existing cash flow is sufficient to repay the existing debt. So automatically, I think our horizon for next 5 years is to become debt-free on a full balance sheet basis. Hello? Sir, are you there?
Paket Kabro, can you hear us? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So, will we see a normalized EBITDA in FY25? You earlier in the call you said we will see some provisions this year also. So, is it possible for you to quantify in terms of like how much will it be in terms of last year's number of 106 crore? Higher than that, lower than that?
Sorry, Aditya, missed the last part.
So, I am saying that will we see a normalized EBITDA in FY 2025? Will we still take provisions on the receivables this year also? And if yes, then what will be the quantum? More than last year, less than last year? Where will it be?
So, Nitya, I think that the intention is that these are the old outstanding, which we're still working on to collect. But yes, since there is a time value of money which has got lost, or I would say implementation of various other regulatory guidelines requested us, required us to start providing for this provision. But as we speak, I think from a FY 25 perspective or future perspective, we don't see such a large provision coming up in the balance sheet. And I think as a management, as a company, as a business, we're targeting that whatever is the normalized EBITDA, which should be the actualized EBITDA for the company.
All right. And how much growth do we anticipate for the coming two years, FY 26, 27?
So, from a business perspective, as you said, though we have scaled down many businesses in last two years, that is why you have seen this, there is a shrinking in the EBITDA margins also. Now, I think a lot of costs have got rationalized. I think from next year onwards, we have a couple of contracts to deliver from an ATM outsourcing, like SBI contract we have in hand, a couple of other contracts in pipeline. Plus, we have a digital strategy with us. So I think we're targeting a good growth in next one year. I think maybe quarter one end and quarter two will give us also more confidence and conviction to go ahead and declare. And I think market will also able to see that what kind of growth we are targeting. It is very difficult to give you the exact number at this point of time.
All right. All right, no worries. Thanks for your answer.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Savi Jain from 2Point2 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, everyone.
Sir, you're sounding very soft. Can you speak through the handset?
Is this better?
If you can come a little closer, please.
One second. Is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, my first question is on your, you know, receivable write-off. So is this because there was a disagreement on the service level expectation from your customer that you were not able to deliver on those standards, and therefore they are delaying the payments? Or was there some reconciliation issue and the, you know, and the cash itself, that was, you know, was the cash levels were different, in the entire ATM cash register business?
So, sir, most of the amounts are of reconciliation nature only. Most of the amount, I'm not say all the amount, but yes, most of the amounts that we have written off, taken up provisions and written off is of the reconciliation nature only.
There is no insurance on this? Like, if you have, there is a difference in amount due to theft or some, you know, whatever reason, so do you not get compensated by your insurance contracts?
So, they definitely, as I said, the insurance covers each and every aspect of the cash, whether cash is in the ATM, whether cash is in the transit, or whether the cash has got siphoned off due to the cyber fraud or anything. All these forms are covered. But in case of specifically in reconciliations, definitely it becomes sometimes very difficult to give the documentation and to give a supporting to justify that whether under which category this reconciliations falls. Basically, these reconciliations are generally of very, very small value in value-wise. And because of the small value item-wise, it becomes, it's practically impossible for us or to the customer to share the details with respect to those amounts, from where it has been taken out, what kind of fraud it has happened, and whether the customer was genuine or customer was ingenuine. But wherever we have been able to demonstrate to the bank, that is why we are saying, even though we have taken a provision and everything, we are confident that we're able to share those communications and confirmations, both from the customer perspective and both from the technical perspective, that this cash was returned back to the bank, and we have a right to reclaim this money from the customer back.
Okay. And this is, what was this amount last year? Like FY 2023?
FY 2023, this amount was approximately around 49 crore.
Okay. And these are mostly with respect to, I mean, all of these issues occurred in this year itself, or there have been much earlier issues, but you have finally written them off right now?
So these are definitely pending issues with the customers for long now. And since we were able to demonstrate certain collections, certain communications in the past, and there was a trail available with us for the recoveries and everything. So we've been able to take it to the next level. But yes, now since it has become too late for all of us, for the management, for board, and for the auditors as well, that it is getting too late, that there is a time value of money required in the ATMs and, in the financial statements. And since the money is not coming as early or as fast as we're expecting, we have provided those provisions.
Okay, and you said next year also it should be similar amount?
No, it should not be. It should not be.
Okay. But there will be some amount.
So that should be, as I just answered, that it should be a normalized EBITDA. Our endeavor is to ensure that our adjusted EBITDA and actual EBITDA should be following the same line. There should not be this line item.
And the second, I just wanted to understand, see, there is another listed company, CMS, in the exact same business, but they have very different financial profile, EBITDA margin, cash flow, balance sheet. So being in the same business, is it that we have done a lot of transaction-based contracts we have taken up, which is leading to losses because of decrease in ATM usage because of the digitalization that is happening? So those guys are doing more of fixed price contracts. Is that the reason that the financial profile of the same business is very different?
So the comparison is not an apple to apple, because the other entity is more on the cash management business. It's not on the ATM outsourcing business across. They do a lot of cash management business, and their volumes on cash management business and pickup points are different metrics, which is not similar to what the ATM outsourcing is.
So just to essentially, if you compare, we have a subsidiary, Pure Value Limited, which is a standalone subsidiary. So that standalone subsidiary is similar to that business that CMS is also doing it. So those metrics are definitely, we can share with you those standalone financial statement of our subsidiary Secure Value. That will help you to map the metrics more meaningfully than comparing it with the consolidated financial of AGS.
But in hindsight, do you think it was better to focus just on the cash logistics business and not on the ATM outsourcing business, given what has happened over the last few years?
So I will put it this way: we are now getting in more onto hybrid contracts across than transaction-based contracts. So you will see much better revenue and all across from fixed contracts coming across. Yes, we are also increasing our footprints on Secure Value and the cash management business. So you will see a scale up across in Secure Value for ATM replenishment, for doorstep banking, for DCBA, all across. So our focus is there, and primarily more on hybrid contracts and growing up Secure Value.
Current contracts which are already in force, there we can't do anything, right? We have to just continue to execute them despite making losses on them.
No, it is not so. So there are current contracts which are getting renegotiated and which is moving into a hybrid form of contract.
But the banks and all, a lot of these are PSU banks. You think they will, they are willing to renegotiate?
So our mix is more on the private sector bank. Our PSU is majorly our fixed contracts except State Bank of India. But if you see our mix, we are more on the private sector bank. On the public sector banks, our contracts are mostly on fixed basis.
This interchange fee, you think after the elections this can change? Is that a possibility?
We would wish it happened.
Do you have any indication from
No, there are various bodies which are representing this across. We'll have to wait and watch.
See, last time it took almost 4 to 5 years for rate to revise, but hopefully I think this should happen much quickly, and we are all very hopeful that it should happen.
Sorry?
See, last time it took quite a bit time for the rate revision, but this time I think every one has represented to RBI, and hopefully it should happen, but again, we are not sure when it would happen.
And you know, are you seeing increased outsourcing by of ATM? I think there's still a lot of ATMs which are still with the banks. So do you see those coming out for outsourcing in the next couple of years?
Yes, we are likely to see a good number of banks which have not outsourced it coming out with RFPs on this model across.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, best of luck.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I miss your net, the peaking of debt numbers. So we can assume that this quarter numbers are the net debt has peaked for us, and it will be only on the declining trend going ahead.
Sir, from a repayment perspective, definitely we are targeting an endeavor is to repay our debt as the repayments are coming up. But definitely, as we said, sir, we have one project of State Government of India which we need to execute. So if there is a timing difference between the cash flow, we may take some debt in the form of to fund that expenditure in the form of capex and working capital for State Bank of India, sir.
So what is our current rating currently, and when it is due?
So, sir, our rating is A+ with CRISIL and India rating both.
Okay. And our cost of funds, sir?
Sir, cost of funds approximately in the range of around 10.5 to 11%, sir.
10.5 to 11%. That is significant.
So the cost of borrowing has increased in last 1 year, sir, by 100 basis points.
100 basis. Right. Thank you, sir. And we'll get in touch with SGA for all the follow-up. And thank you for all the elaborate answers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all once again for joining us on this call. Before we sign out, I would like to quickly summarize our outlook for FY25. Our near-term objective is to grow and scale the digital business by building an open-loop PPI infrastructure through the issuance of cards and wallets and pivot from payment as a service to payment as a convenience through the OnGo card ecosystem. Also, a large part of the revenue comes from the service business, and all the service contracts are of long-term in nature, whether it is ATM outsourcing business or cash management business, or it is the AMC contracts for various assets. Going forward, we will see a good visibility of the revenue on a quarterly basis. I once again thank you, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of AGS Transact Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.